Hey kids, we are especially glad that you guys are in here with us this morning to worship. And I want to see if you guys are awake out there. So I'm going to count to three. And all of our kids, hey, would you guys do me a favor and say good morning when I count to three and say it really loud, okay? One, two, three. I think there might be more adults here than their kids. Because you know what, when you said good morning earlier, that was like, that's pretty loud. So we're going to try one more time with you kiddos, all right? All you kiddos. One, two, three. Good morning, guys. We are so excited that you are here with us today, and I hope this is going to be a fun day for you as well. Again, I want to say welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're going to take a break today from the series that I have been in. We have been working our way through the Gospel of John, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, to discover how it is that God wants us to live. The subtitle of the series has been just so that you might believe. So we're going to just take a break from that today. So next week, we're going to pick that back up. And over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to continue with our journey with John in his gospel leading up to Easter. And it's going to be a great celebration. So we'd love to have you come back next week to continue this journey with us. But this morning, we're going to talk about God's will. Trying to discern God's will. You know, that what should I do? Where should I go? What should I become? What is it, God, that you want me? Have you ever found yourself at the crossroads where you've simply been asking and searching, God, where am I supposed to go now? Should I go left? Should I go right? Should I go through this door? Should I go through that door? Should I change jobs? Should I start going to school? Do I go this direction or do I go that direction? I think this is a great graphic because I think often in our lives that we reach these crossroads, that we're just simply asking, God, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? And often, I don't know about you, but often I have found myself asking God these things and saying, God, where are you? That I pray and I pray and I pray, and there are times where it's just like nothing, that it's silent, that I search for answers and I don't seem to get them, that I look for direction and I don't know which way to go. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that place where you're just like, God, I'm right here and I don't know which way to go? I've got all these doors I could go through, or there seems like it's all closed doors, or I don't know what direction to go in my life. Has your prayer ever gone like this? God, what should I do? And it's silent. And so you say, God, I really want to know what your will is. Can you tell me what it is? And you hear the crickets in the background. And so again, you say, God, will you just clarify for me what it is that you want me to do? And there's still more silence. And so you try again and you say, God, are you listening? Can you hear me? You see, when we try to discern God's will in our lives, I think we are often tempted to only spend our time in prayer. Now, hear me clearly. Prayer is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. It's a really good thing. But I think often we get paralyzed by not doing something else. And all we do is we ask and we say, God, what direction do you want me to go? God, what's your will for my life? God, would you please tell me the answer to this? And we wait and we wait and we wait and we don't seem to get answers. Have you ever been there? See, I believe that we all have. I believe that every single one of us reaches moments in our lives when we ask the question, God, what do you want me to do? Or we could put some nice theological language in there and say, God, what is your will for my life? I believe all of us enter those seasons. It could be in a moment. It could be a season that lasts for a day or a week or a month. Or a season, or years, where we're just like, God, I don't know which way to go. And if that's you, If that's you, I have some answers for you this morning. I have some things that I hope that I can share with you that you're like, yes, I have a direction that I can go. I have some choices that I can make. And so we're going to look at what I think are some of the classical things that we can do to find out God's will for our lives. And then I'm going to give you what I think is one of the most simple yet profound ways to know God's will. As a matter of fact, I think it's so simple that we just often miss it. And so let's begin by looking at what we might refer to as some of the classical ways that we discover God's will, that we know what it is that God wants us to do in his life. And I'm going to hit these pretty quick because I want to spend a little bit more time on that one. It's not number eight, but it's number eight, but it's a big one to help us really discern God's will. Because my guess is there's a lot of you in here right now that are asking the question, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do about my relationship? What do you want me to do about my job? What do you want me to do about my kids? What do you want me to do about my parents? What do you want me to do about my friends? What do you want me to do this year, in 5 years? You know, I'm reaching that place where I'm beginning to look at what happens when I retire. You know, and being like, God, what direction do you want me to go? And so I believe we all ask these questions. And so I want to hit real quick what I think are seven places that we can discern the will of God, and then kind of the climax, the big one, that maybe is the answer for you today. The first one is studying God's word. Is studying God's word. God's word, the Bible tells us that your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. You see, God's word is filled with precepts. Those are direct commands. They're directions. They're rules. They're things like do not lie. No gray space, no whiteness, just do not lie. That's a precept. That is something that it's a non-negotiable where God just says, don't do that. And the Bible's filled with lots of those. But the Bible is also filled with principles, what we describe as truths from which other truths are derived. Like in Proverbs, it tells us in Proverbs 22:7 that the borrower is a slave to the lender. The borrower is a slave to the lender. And so what's the principle there? It actually continues to unpack lots of places in Scripture that says this, is that we should have no debt because we are always a slave to who we owe that money to. And so one of the principles is that we should not be in debt as Christians. So the Bible is filled with precepts and it's filled with principles that help guide us into how we should live, what we should do, what we should not do. And let me just add a little caveat, by the way, is that the Bible should be our reference point. It should be the place that we examine everything that we think God might be leading us to do, because God will never call us to do anything that is contrary to his word. It is authoritative in our lives. And so if you feel God is calling you or leading you or directing you to do something, the very first thing that we should do is say, how does that line up with God's word? If it doesn't line up with God's word, then I propose to you that you are listening to another voice. And we should be listening for the voice of God. So one of the ways we discover God's will for our lives is to just read God's word, to discover its precepts and its principles to guide our lives. I think another one, and I said, is that we should spend time in prayer. That's why I said that we don't neglect prayer. As a matter of fact, prayer is huge, because we see in places like Ephesians 6:8 that we should pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Because prayer is that place of communication of us with God. I think the difficulty with prayer often is we spend a whole lot more time talking and not enough time listening. And so we have to discipline ourselves to be quiet so that our prayers aren't just, dear God, I need, and I want, and I want, and I want. Thank you. We've got to spend time listening to the voice of God. And it happens many times in prayer. You know, one of the simple techniques that you can do is that when you're in a time of prayers, keep a little notebook by you. And if you're praying and this thought comes in your head, write it down. Because it might just be the voice of God talking to you. And it might be an amazing discipline for you to see those things that your mind is leading you to in prayer. Because that might be an amazing place that God is talking to you. So we can discern God's will by studying his word and by spending time in prayer. One of my favorites is number three, seeking wise counsel from godly people. Seeking counsel from godly people. Colossians 3:16 says, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Again, like scripture, I want to put a little caveat in here. If you have a counsel tell you something that is contrary to the word of God, then that counsel is not telling you the truth. And again, so we always measure what others tell us in light of what God's word says to us, because it's our authority. And God never contradicts himself. Whether he speaks to us in his word, whether he speaks to us in prayer, where he speaks to us in counsel, he will never, ever contradict one of his principles or precepts that we find in scripture. But we should all have those godly people in our lives that we seek advice from, that we seek leadership from, that we seek guidance from. You know, corporations are spending lots of money now in the whole area of mentoring, where they get their executives to begin mentoring the people who just come into their organizations so they can continue to guide those people into the mission, vision, values, and beliefs of the organization. Well, as Christians, we should have mentors in our life as well, godly men and women who we can go to for advice, for direction, for leadership, for counsel, because God speaks to us through the godly counsel of godly people. I think a fourth way that we know God's will is by paying attention to God has uniquely wired us. How God has uniquely wired us. 1 Peter 4:10 says that God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another. See, often we need to take an inventory. What are our gifts? What are our talents? What's our passion? What are our desires? What are the abilities? What are the things that we can do? You see, God often works in the areas that he has gifted us. And so the quicker we learn those places that we've been gifted, those abilities, those passions, those desires, the quicker we get in sync with those to see what God might be doing, the quicker we're going to walk in the will of God. So we might just look and see, what am I really good at? What are my passions? What am I so passionate about that I would do it for free? What are my talents? Where are the places that people have come alongside and said, man, you're really good at that? Because often we can discern the will of God through how he has wired us. Number five, we can discern the will of God by being attentive to open and closed doors. By being open to open and close doors. Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Here's the deal. We can get to where God wants us to be either an easier way or a harder way. And the easier way is the better way. And often God opens doors and closes doors that he wants us to go through. That was particularly made real to me 20 years ago when I decided and I heard God calling me into ministry. My dad gave me a book called A Man Called Peter by Catherine Marshall. I've shared this with some of you. Peter Marshall was the first immigrant chaplain of the Senate. And Catherine writes in this book, this biography about her husband, she says that one of the ways that Peter really tried to discern what it is that God wanted him to do is that he moved in this place of seeking the doors that God opens and the doors that God closes, to walk in the places that God wants us to walk, to go a different direction in the places where God wants us not to. Now, I think one of my problems, maybe it's yours, is that I proceed, because sometimes I don't hear the voice of God. So I'm just going to say, okay, God, I'm just going to move in this direction, and I'm going to believe that you're going to open or close the door that you want me to go through. I think that's a great way to hear the will of God. So I will take out, you know, the song like, put one foot in front of the other, right? Is that you just do that, but sometimes, maybe I'm the only one in the room that does this, I come upon a door and it's locked. And I push on it. And I kick it. And I bust it down because that's the door I want to go through when there might be another door right here going. See, I think sometimes when we get to this place of saying, you know, not my will, oh God, but yours be done, I think for many of us, we reached a place where we said, God, I want my will and I want you to come alongside with whatever that might be. And God says, I have these great plans for you. So if you will walk and if you will go through the doors that I open and if you will not go through the doors that I close, then you will discover my will. Again, that takes discernment. So one of the ways that we discern the will of God is by being attentive to these doors that are open or closed. I think number six, one of the ways that we discern the will of God is following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Following the leading of the Holy Spirit. The last couple weeks, we've been looking at some passages in John, and John is promising, Jesus is promising that the Holy Spirit's going to come when Jesus ascends back to be with the Father. That the Holy Spirit is the very presence of Jesus that's with us, no longer confined to a physical body as Jesus was, no longer confined to a physical time and space, that now the very presence of God is with us always, and God leads us through his Holy Spirit. Often we give credit to our conscience, but I actually think often we actually need to give credit to the Spirit of God. You know what that is, right? When you're doing something that you know you shouldn't be done, and you're kind of moving in this direction, and inside your head it's going, no, 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 don't do that. Or other times where you're like, I think I should go this way. And it's like, yes, yes, yes. And you walk that way and it's so good. See, the Spirit of God, the more we get to know God, the more we get in touch with the very presence of God, he is going to lead us and guide us and direct us so that we would discover the will of God. That's what Jesus promised us, that his Spirit, his presence was going to lead us and guide us in our lives. And that's one of the amazing ways that we discover the will of God. Well, there's a seventh way. This is probably the least common for most people, but sometimes we discover the will of God by experiencing the miraculous. It can be through dreams, through visible signs, through an audible voice. God does still talk to people that way. Sometimes through angelic appearances. History is filled with places where people tell these stories of they saw this person and then they were gone. They saw this experience and then it was gone. And that experience led them in a direction. One of the things we're discovering, and we've been seeing this actually for about the last 15 or 20 years that's really spiked up, is in the Islamic countries. In the places that are antagonistic to the gospel, in places where if you confess the name of Jesus, you will be potentially taken out. God is revealing himself in dreams. It was very common in early church history, but God seems to be doing that again, that he's revealing himself in dreams, and countless numbers of people are coming to faith in Jesus through their dreams. And so God is going to use some miraculous experiences for some people to know his will. So let's review seven places, classical places, for us to know the will of God. Studying God's word, spending time in prayer, seeking the counsel of godly people, paying attention to how God has uniquely wired you, being attentive to open or closed doors, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, or experiencing the miraculous. What if you still don't know? What if the key for you is not revealed yet? What if you do all that and the crickets are still playing in the background? What if you just don't know what direction to go? I read this article this last week by a gentleman who is in charge of the millennials for the International Justice Mission. And he wrote this article about discovering God's will that has like, it is like a door opened up for me. Because there are seasons and times and moments when I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm seeking and I'm doing all these things and I'm just like, God, I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. And he revealed the secret in this article. And so here I think the key to discerning God's will for your life, what if it comes from being obedient to what God has already told you, commanded you to do? What if the secret to discovering God's will was actually founded in and grounded on us already doing what God said for us to do? Sometimes I think finding the will of God, we make it so hard. Or sometimes we need to go through a season and to get to the other side of that season, because there's things that God wants to teach us in the midst of that time. And so I believe this one, this key to discovering the will of God, is like amazing. In Philippians 2, 12 through 14, it says, "Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you." By obeying and revering God, he is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him, to do his will. Do everything without arguing and complaining. That should be like a t-shirt, right? Do everything without arguing and complaining. That is revolutionary for most of us. To obey what God has already said, to do what God's already said to do, and to do it without arguing or complaining. To just move, to do it. James 1:22 says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. Is that like simple? We don't just listen to God's word. James says, do what it says. So, okay, so what's that built upon, of course? Got to read it. We got to understand it, right? So in light of this article that I read this last week, because I have been going through a season of my life in some particular areas of my life where I have been praying a lot and I haven't been getting answers. I have been going through a season of my life of, actually, there had been times of real frustration and I'm like, God, I just don't know which way to go. And I read this article and I'm like, that is what God wants me to do. It's so simple that it's like profound. And so here's what I did. I recently got a new Bible because my other one had kind of worn out and was falling apart. And what I did was I went to my old Bible and I just started in Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, and I started looking at every place that I highlighted and underlined. See, we should do that. We should highlight and underline in our Bibles because you know what? God speaks to us that way. And so if you've ever been in this place where you've done a Bible study that you're like reading something and you're like, dang, how is that like exactly with what I'm going through in my life right now? And you underline it or you highlight it, you put a little note to it. That, my friends, is God speaking to you. And so I went through mine and I just started typing out on the keyboard all those places that I underlined. I almost had my own whole Bible all over again. And so I edited it, and I think I had 10 pages, single-spaced scriptures. Now, I don't know what it is for you, but I want to just be a little transparent with you this morning, because I want you to know what I believe that God is speaking to me about, and maybe that can be a catalyst or a platform for you to discover what God might be speaking to you about. Maybe you're here today because you needed to hear this. Or maybe you're here today simply because you needed this catalyst for you to do some of your own hard work to discover what God's will is for your life. And so I want to share with you, for me, just a few of the things that I believe that God is speaking to me about his will for my life. Man, one of the first ones that jumped right out was to be thankful. That actually kind of flowed out of our Thanksgiving time. Even on the way to school, I take Kate to school every morning, and one of our new routines is I ask her, I said, honey, what are we thankful for today? Because I believe God wants us to develop this attitude of gratitude, that we live in the gratitude of God, not in the scarcity of God. And so we need to be people who are gratitude. In Ephesians 5:20, it says, give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God's telling me, George, you need to be more thankful. Be grateful for what you have. I believe God is also speaking to me that says, be joyful. Be joyful. Philippians 4:4 says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been going through some season and some things in my life where I haven't been overly joyful. You know, I've been a little bit more like Scrooge. I've been a little bit more like, oh, whatever, because all this other stuff is going on in my life. And I just need to say, wow, but I need to be joyful for all that God has done. First and foremost, he sent Jesus to die for me so that I don't face a Christless eternity, but I face an eternity with my Savior. Thank you. So I need to be filled with more joy because you know what? The world's looking at us, and if we profess the name of Jesus, if we have to tell our faces that we've been saved, then the rest of the world's not going to know our Jesus. So we've got to figure out a way to be more joyful. So that was one of the ones for me. Gosh, a huge one, huge, huge, huge. Stop worrying about stuff. Man, I saw that everywhere. Man, God was really speaking to me through that one. Two of the ones that jumped out at me, man, from Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And then in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, give all your worries to God who cares about you. He cares about you. So God's saying, George, stop worrying about it. You know, studies tell us, people who study this stuff, tell us that 98% of the stuff that we worry about, we have no control over, and it's not anything to be worried about. 98%. Maybe some of you need to get off Facebook. Sorry. Here's another one that God was speaking to me. Think about things that please God. Think about things that please God. Romans 8:5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about things that pleases God. I've got to think about things that are going to please God and to move in that direction. Enough said. Next one, you can tell I've worked really hard at this one. Get in shape. Tell me I'm looking stealth, right? Yeah. Don't you laugh at me. Because I will call you out. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6:20, God bought you with a high price, so you must honor your God with your body. Yeah, I heard lots of ouches in there. Yeah. So we got to figure out ways to honor God with our body. That's not just what we do with our body, but it's also with what comes into our body. So God has been speaking to me on that one. The other thing God's been speaking, be attentive to the Spirit's promptings. We see that in Galatians 5:25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. So when I sense God speaking to me and saying, go talk to that person, don't ignore it. When I sense God saying, go do that, don't diss him. When God's saying, yeah, that's right, to just live in that. And then one other one. And again, I have like 10 pages of these things, but I wanted to narrow it down to share a few with you because maybe you could identify this one. Big one with me is watch what I say. I hate this one. And I just tell you, I hate this one. James 1:19 says, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. You know, it's taken me a long time to discover some of these things, and I'm still a work in progress. And it's tough because, man, my mouth just, anybody else there? Like, yeah, you know? And so I just got to watch what I say. Now, again, I don't know what yours is. But I believe that God's speaking to you. Here's the key. Here's what I hope you've been waiting for. Here's like the big thing that I think God wants us all to get this morning. You ready for it? Ready? Revelation without implementation leads to frustration and dissatisfaction. I worked on that one. You like that one? Revelation without implementation leads to frustration and dissatisfaction. Let me unpack that just real quick with you. Revelation is what God has revealed to us. Revelation is what God has spoken to us. Revelation is what God has told us. Through those seven things that I talked about right at the beginning. So hearing from God, you know what implementation is, right? It's doing it. So taking those things that we heard from God and not implementing those in our lives are going to lead, and I just tried to be really nice about it, frustration and dissatisfaction. Actually, I just thought of the word. Revelation without implementation leads to destruction. I just got that. Been trying to find the word. That if we don't act on what God has already spoken to us, that leads to destruction. And so I have some homework for you tonight, today. I have some homework for you. You guys, if you've been around here long, you know that I work really hard at just trying to be practical. I want what we learn about God to just make a difference in our lives so we can discover who it is that God wants us to be and become and all that kind of stuff. And so I just have a simple exercise for you this morning, and it's this. Number one, I want you to get your Bible. I want you to read your Bible. And I want you to write down how you can implement what you read. When you don't know what God wants you to do, start by revisiting that list and doing what you've written down. So for some of you who are seasoned Bible students, man, you'd be like me and just start going through your Bible and looking at all those places that you've highlighted and underlined. And man, just start doing those. Just one by one, just start doing those. If you're new to this, or even if you kind of don't even know where to start, here's a great place for you to start. Start in the Gospel of John. Start reading that one. Once you get done with John, then move to Acts, because that's the history of the early church. Once you finish with Acts, move to Romans, because it's going to reinforce everything that you just got in John and in Acts. And write down those places that you're like, wow, that God's speaking to you. Write down those things that you can implement. It might be one thing, or it might be page upon page. That's going to be the hard one. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do is you start out slow. Find a few that you can become, that you can start. Because here's what happens. When we start walking in God's ways, when we start walking in the stream of God, then he just reveals to us exactly what he wants. Because when we're walking in his ways, we're in sync with him. So that's the application. Revelation without implementation leads to destruction. So get off the destruction path and move in that path that draws you closer to God so that you would discover God's will for your life. When the disciples asked Jesus how they should pray, one of the most profound things that Jesus said in his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is that we are supposed to pray this way. And Lord, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May God's will be done in your life as he wants it in heaven. Let's pray. God, we all reach times and seasons and moments and days and such that we are just searching for what it is you want us to do and where you want us to go and the path that you want us to be on and the journey that you want to lead us in and the decisions that we have to make. And all, God, we have all those questions and sometimes we just don't know where to go for an answer. And God, I believe that you have just revealed just such a simple way for us to discover your will for our lives. Whether it's in those classical seven places that we talked about at the beginning, or whether it's just in that place that we say, I'm just going to put one foot in front of the other, and I'm going to be walking in the ways that God says to be obedient. I'm going to go ahead and get into his word, and I'm going to go ahead and discover what it is that God wants me to do. And God, I am going to thank you in advance for all that you're going to do in the lives of the people in this room. That as we walk in obedience to you, God, we find abundance. When we walk in obedience to you, oh God, we discover that you are not a cosmic killjoy. As a matter of fact, you are just the opposite, that you want us to experience the most abundant, everlasting, amazing, awesome life that we could possibly lead. And you've revealed to us how to do that in your word, through your people, through your spirit, and many other ways. God, may we walk in your ways that lead to life. And we pray that in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen.